Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, how awesome it is to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What an awesome time of worship, and how great is it to be in this place, to be here all together and just worshiping the Lord, and how awesome is it? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you can say something to me. You're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God for all of his awesomeness and just all that he has brought us through. And we have our ministry staff here with us. And what an awesome thing to be able to worship together. It's been so long since we've all kind of been here in one accord, and just seizing this moment in time, in history. All the things that are taking place around the world, it's just unbelievable. And who would have thought 3 months ago that, you know, we would be in the midst of all of this? And it just goes to show how unpredictable life is itself, and how important it is for us to adhere to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that will bring stability to our lives, to help us to have the right mindset and the right mentality. And that is why we've been talking about having a righteous mind, right? The righteous mind, because it is the mind of the righteous that enables us to endure and weather the storms. Anybody can hold it together when everything's going their way, when things are going the way you expect. But man, when things take a shift and they take a turn, and when things begin to happen that are unexpected, that's when the power of God needs to show itself. That's when the wisdom of God and the ability to operate in a way that will honor and glorify God, that's when those things become so important. And so it's exciting to be able to see the Word of God come to life in the midst of us. And that's exactly what is really happening. These are really last days scenarios that are taking place. And a lot of the things that we see happening are spoken of or alluded to in Scripture, and that in the last days, these kinds of things would happen. And so we need to be of a right mind, of the righteous mind, the mind of Christ. We need to have an excellent spirit. And this is the time when we would normally gather together. And today I have with me our pastoral staff of Pastor Raphael and Pastor Michal are going to be joining me here today. Hallelujah. And as you can see, we have our table set up with our official OCF mugs, our celebration mugs, and how awesome it is to be able to sit and to share around the table the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so we are using the theme this quarter, an excellent spirit. And this month is the righteous mind. And so today we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that. We have our other two pastors here that'll be joining me as the, come on. That's the clue. That's the hint. That's the, you know, that means, you know, come on. they're out of practice, right? They're out of practice. And so we're talking a little bit today about maintaining an excellent spirit and being able to operate in a righteous mind, in a state where God can be glorified in the decisions that we're making and in the processes that we follow, so that we can be a living witness. Our lead verse for today is, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Hallelujah. Romans 8:13. And how powerful is this verse, and how important is it for us to apply today and to be able to live during these uncertain times, as they're being called, in a way that we would be able to not only survive, but to thrive and overcome the challenges that the world is now facing. And so we're gonna sit here at the table together, and I'm going to join them. Feel free to have a seat. And I know this is a little different, but we are going to be just sharing around the Word of God, talking about the things that we've been talking about over the past 3 months, and sharing how it can be made practical in these days, in these times that we're living in. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us, that you would begin to speak to us and enable us, Lord, to understand how you have called us for such a time as this, that we might be your ambassadors, those who represent the righteousness of God, that the truth of God would arise and abide in the midst of us, that your people would indeed live in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, overcoming the flesh, because the Spirit of God is indwelling us with power and in might, as our mind is being focused on the word of truth, that you, O God, may be exalted. In Jesus' name, we pray and we give you thanks, O God. And all God's people said, amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, a couple of months ago, we were talking about regeneration. And Pastor Raphael shared a passage, shared a sermon on this subject matter. And we're just going to have him share a little bit about how regeneration applies and really is relevant in regards to having and maintaining an excellent spirit, especially in challenging times like these. So go right ahead, Pastor, and share with us what the Lord has shown you.
Well, hallelujah. And you know, regeneration is something that was not only appropriate during the time when we were actually delivering that message, when we were actually focusing on that, on those scriptures, but how appropriate is regeneration today, right now?
Right.
Because we're at we continue to pray that we're at the end of this whole COVID-19 thing. Thus, mm-hmm. the reason we're all able to gather here today. So we're praising God for that. And, you know, we have some of us that had to regenerate a sense of remembering we had to get dressed to come outside. That was me. But, you know, what we focused on during that particular message when I had the opportunity was on the story of Joseph. And I think that when it comes to being or having a righteous mind and being in a state of regeneration, I think Joseph is a great example of what it means to have that kind of a mindset and to live in a process, in a state of regeneration. And the verse that really comes to mind is in Genesis. And in Genesis 39, verses 2 to 6, it tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And in verse 3, it tells us that his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. And I want to focus just right there for a second. And it was that the master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. You know, we don't have to walk around, you know, to have a righteous mind doesn't mean that we have to let everybody else know. that we have a righteous mind.
Right.
You know, we don't have to tell everyone else how righteous we are, you know. Well, you know, I saw this homeless man outside and, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to give him a sandwich. That's great. That's great. But, you know, sometimes God just wants you to provide for someone and keep it between you and that person. You know, God doesn't need a list of our achievements. God doesn't need a list of the times that we have represented him, you know. And if we just live the life that Christ has called us to live and we operate with a righteous mind, people are going to notice. People are going to be able to know that the Lord is with you. And one of the results of that, or one of the things that people are going to be able to see, is the fact that the Lord's going to cause all that you do to prosper. You know, and it goes on in verse 4, and we see that, hold on, I got you, there we go. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. And in verse 5, it tells us that it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. And in verse 6, we end with, so he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. And again, that's the righteous mindset. We should be able to be in a situation where we're given responsibility, we're given charge over things, and when that responsibility is given to us, it is prospering. We're not sitting there and letting that opportunity squander. We're not taking advantage of a situation or a circumstance. You know, Joseph had control over everything in the house except what his master was eating, you know? And think about, in today's world, what happens when people are given all the opportunity or all the responsibility. You know, we see it in the news all the time. You know, and in today's news, a Ponzi scheme took place and they took all the money. And we don't know where they went. And, you know, all these different things that are that happen when people don't operate with the righteous mindset, the end result is always sin.
Right.
Always sin. When we have the opportunity to do right, for some reason, those who don't operate in the mentality that God has called us to operate in, they always end up doing wrong. And it's a regenerative process, because the fact of the matter is, when we're born, right, it's not like we just know what's right right off the bat. Right? I have two boys at home. Everyone knows Luca. And I have never seen a four-year-old plot before. And to see it in my house, as often as I see it, you come into a situation where he was doing something where he wasn't supposed to be doing, and you ask him, what are you doing? Immediately, without thinking, he responds, nothing. Nothing, Dad, nothing. And the amazing thing is, we do the same thing with God.
Right.
We're in a situation, and we're in a circumstance, and we do what we're not supposed to do. And then when God makes us stand in front of the mirror, for some reason, we think that the response is going to be acceptable. Nothing, Lord. What are you talking about?
It's like Adam and Eve were hiding
yeah.
in the garden, right? And God is looking for them because he had an appointment.
Exactly.
And they didn't show up for the appointment. And so God is looking for them. And then he says, where are you? You know, where are you?
Yeah. And where are you guys?
They said, over here.
Yeah.
And they were hiding.
Yeah, like God didn't put that bush there.
Right.
You know? God knew exactly where they were. And, you know, the regenerative mindset is, as we hear all the time, is letting the old self die and letting the new self live.
Right.
And it's a constant process. No one is going to sit here. I don't think any of us, even up here, are going to be able to say that we live lives that are absolutely perfect and that we've never done anything wrong since the day we got saved.
Right.
I don't think, I mean, if any of us do, I think we would run in the other direction, you know? And I think that we have to come to grips and understand, yes, we are not perfect, but that doesn't change the fact that God has called us to a life of righteousness. And the only way that we can live a life of righteousness is if we allow him to take residence in our heart, renew our mind, and allow him to speak into our life and guide us into the direction that he has called us to walk.
Right. And I think just using the passage that you're relating to with in regards to Joseph, because, you know, Joseph was really had the heart of God. He was mm-hmm. following a vision. He was following the call of God. And he didn't even realize how much God had control over his life. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at all the things that are happening in society today, with all of the coronavirus and the shifts and the changes with that, and now with the protesting and people fighting for civil rights and human rights and all these things that are taking place, these are all things that are really the things that God has already taken into account when he put the plan of salvation for humanity together. And as we follow the word of God and we apply the principles of God, we will see that God will prosper us in our positions in the world, if you will, on our jobs and in just even in circumstances. You know, he was thrown into a pit by his brothers. He was now made a servant. He was essentially an indentured servant, a slave, really. He was sold into slavery, if you will, to a family who purchased him, where he had to actually work and earn his keep. And so, you know, even in that situation, God prospered him. God raised him up. And that's to show us that it doesn't matter what situations and circumstances we find ourselves in, we need to be faithful to God. We need to honor the Lord in all the things that we do, everything that we say. We need to function within the parameters of God and his word, and God will raise us up. He will prosper us. And that's so important to know, because it requires regeneration. Because if you operate in the flesh, if you operate the way you normally would without the guidance of the word of God, you're going to find yourself defaulting to the way you feel, and you're going to respond and react to everything based on how you feel, and that is not a good place to be. That's the flesh. And so being able to operate in a place or a state of regeneration is a work of the Spirit of God by the Word of God. You know, so many people today spend their time, and I'm talking about Christians, they're watching or listening to commentary on the Word of God. And so they're listening to somebody who's talking about the Bible, someone who's talking about the Word of God, someone who's even sharing it themselves. But what the people of God need to be doing is they need to be applying the Word of God out of a place of intimate meditation and reflection in a personalized manner. You don't get that by watching sermons on YouTube or watching you know, people on TV or even Christian television, watching all of that. Yes, you can become educated, but that is not what gives you the ability to operate under the dynamics of the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God. That's not what enables you to experience the ordering of the Lord in your life and the manifestations of God for you personally. Satan will still reap havoc in your mind unless you yourself have a personal relationship with the Word of God, where you are intimate with the Word, where you're meditating on it for yourself, you're reflecting on it for yourself, where God is speaking to you and giving you direction, and He's enabling you to overcome. You know, I love OCGF TV, and believe me, you know, we're all in at this point, and we are so grateful to God for it, especially during this pandemic. Thank God we were ready for this kind of thing as a church. It was something that we were already involved in. And so it was fairly reasonable for us to just take the next step and do the things that we're doing. However, this cannot be your sole place of communion with God. You know, this is designed to help you become hungry for more of God Himself, so that you will desire to go into the scriptures and say, Lord, speak to me. Show me how I need to be conformed into your image. Change my heart, renew me, and make me the person I need to be. God, use me to be an example and a witness in these uncertain times, in these times of challenges and difficulty. And I believe that that's what we're seeing in the Word of God, but the Word of God has power in it, and it is anointed in a way that hearing preachers will not enable you to experience. You have to enter into a communing relationship with the Word of God and let God change you from the inside out. That's the only way that the world is going to change, and we're going to see a lot of this, these things that we read about in Scripture come to life in us. And so thank you for that, Pastor Raphael. That was a great word to grab onto, that we would be able to apply this during these times. And our next subject or topic last month was spiritual perception. And Pastor Michal shared some passages with us that were really awesome, and we're going to just ask him now to show us or to share with us what the Lord has spoken to him.
Yeah, praise God. You know, it's funny that we're here right now, because you know, back in October when we sat down and we laid out the year
right
for this year,
the
right?
calendar year.
When the Lord, yes, really gave us, you know, the actual theme for the year being an excellent spirit, right, and then laid out each quarter, right, you could say that even back from regeneration,
right,
then to spiritual perception, and now an excellent, or a
and now it's spiritual perception.
No, the mind.
A righteous mind, right? Right.
When you go, when you take all those three steps,
right,
it's like the Lord was preparing us,
yes,
and we didn't even realize He was preparing,
correct,
us for exactly what's coming. So you know, I just want to kind of,
amen,
take that for a second, because so often we can sit through a worship service, we can sit through a Sunday service, and it become something that's repetitive, and say, you know, okay, I've heard that said in so many different ways, but you know, every single time that the Lord, you know, delivers a message to us, we should be, you know, hanging on to every word that He's delivering, because you know, you never know how it is that He's preparing us and what He's preparing us for. You know, now with, yes, it was the pandemic, but we could actually, you know, as we heard that the whole message on regeneration for 4 weeks, then we heard 4 weeks of spiritual perception being,
right,
explained. As the pandemic came upon us, we, right, were able to actually stay strong, even though the church was fragmented. So I just, right, want to start out with that. And then I just want to go on to, I have a scripture from 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 15. I'll just read that. But it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And I really want to take that that I thought that Paul is really delivering here in 1 Corinthians, and really, you know, kind of expound on that a little bit, because as we go through this, it's so important to grab hold of the fact that we are different. Mm-hmm. We are renewed. We are regenerated. We have been regenerated. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the only way, you know, as the Lord gave me that word back in April, where I took five men of renown from the scriptures, right? And we saw where each one of them were off with their spiritual perception. Mm-hmm. And each one of them lost sight of their way before God. Right. Now, not intentionally, and they weren't cast out for it, but the situation was not a godly outcome, right? Right? But then you see the exact same five men when their spiritual perception was on the Lord and was focused on the Lord and was, they really were focused on their walk before God, just as Pastor is saying, not by, you know, listening to YouTube or not by going on and even coming, you know, coming to service is great, coming to Monday night prayer is great, coming to Wednesday night Bible study, awesome, coming to Friday night Cafe Cristo, that's awesome, you know, and coming to Sunday services are great, even fellowship is great, but you cannot get from any of those what you can get from that time alone with God. You know, God can drop one word, and I know this for a fact, God can drop just one word in your spirit, and you can wrestle with that for the rest of the year to fully understand and live up to it. You know what I'm saying? And you just can't get that from personal interaction. You know, even though, when Pastor Lee speaks on a Sunday, he may give that same word, but we'll miss that word unless we're actually in tune, unless our spiritual perception is keyed into the things of God, and that we're actually understanding it from a spiritual standpoint, like, you know, that we haven't even, because, you know, the danger is that even though we are born again, even though that we are saved, even though that we are pursuing after God, we can become lazy, if you will, in our Christian walk, right? Mm-hmm. We can become complacent, if you will, exactly, and we can even become dull to the actual voice of the Holy Spirit, and that no one else can do that for you. You know, I can't do it, Pastor. You can't do it. Right. Your wife, your husband, your kids, no one else can do that. Only you can do that. The only way you're going to be able to continue to be sharp and attuned to the Holy Spirit is by coming into that place of actual fellowship with God. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, fellowship with one another. Then out of that, you will go to men's prayer. Mm-hmm. Out of that, you will go to Bible study. And that you won't just go to just receive, but you'll go and you'll actually be able to participate and add to what's going on there. So, you know, spiritual perception is key. And the only way to receive that spiritual perception is to be in a place of communion with God, in a place of fellowship with God, and to know and understand the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, and I think it's awesome that even back in October, the Lord had this church body. And that's what really impresses me. And I'm not necessarily, you know, trying to lift Orange County Gospel Fellowship up on a pedestal, but it really does impress me that everybody here, everybody in leadership, you know, none of us are looking for credentials. None of us are looking for that praise. We're all looking to see how God... Now, are we perfect? Do we make mistakes? Sure we do. But at the same time, we're all looking to see how God can use us and how it is that we can hear from God, how it is we can advance that. And God blessed this church body by actually giving us an agenda that will prepare us for everything that's coming. There's no way that we could have perceived this in the natural. There's no way. But the Holy Spirit... just spoke that in. He didn't even give us the foresight of knowing why we were picking these topics.
Right.
But he knew what he was preparing us for. Right. You know, and it's just awesome. I think it's so profound. And as we start to look back, we're like, wow, you know, if we could just have that foresight continually, we would never, I think we would just be sitting by God's feet all the time, you know? Right. And really, that's not the place you want to be either, you know? But at the same time, that's where
become
we should
a
be.
Monk, right?
We should be jealous. We should be jealous and not think it a robbery to sit before God.
Right.
We should be jealous for that time before God and actually looking to make that a part of our daily walk, you know?
Yeah, and what's so awesome about that is when you have that built into your life, where each day you're spending time with God and you have this kind of time around the Word of God, and the Lord just ministers to you. He speaks to you. And you'll see that come alive throughout the day. And then what God does is he creates opportunities where that Word will actually be useful in your interactions with other people, and it will enable you to have an impact on people's lives in ways that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to do because you didn't have that potency of the Spirit of and the Word coming together to ignite you off. It set you off into your day. I know Jorge liked that. I used the word ignite. It ignites you up. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. And that's why the Lord gave us that, right? Hallelujah. And that's what we want. We want to see, you know, God use us. If every Christian would live their lives that way, there wouldn't be any bias. There wouldn't be any of this conflict that's going on, because the Holy Spirit would be literally navigating all of the people of God through their lives in ways that we would actually enhance each other, and we would be knit together in the way the Scripture is knitted together. Do you realize that the Word of God was written by 40 different writers, right? Over 1,600 years, a period of that, speaking three different languages from three different continents. And yet it's all one central theme. They all interact and flow together as if it was written by one person, one voice. And it was. It's the Spirit of God. And
society.
Yes. And that's the design that God has for humanity. That the world would be that way. That's a picture of how the church really ought to work. The church ought to be a bunch of Spirit-filled people who are operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as the Word of God is being stirred up within us, that our footsteps are being directed and ordered. The words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart are all a work of God as we speak and do the things that we do, even without thinking about it or even realizing that it's happening. It's just a part of our makeup, that we would be impacting the world and people would be coming to a knowledge of Christ. And not just in the sense that they would know him, but they would know him intimately, and they would have a desire for that.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be surprised at the world. You know, the world is, you know, if you're not spiritually endowed with the Holy Spirit, right? If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit,
right.
and you're not, you will not have the discernment suffice to even understand or accept the Word of God. So we can't be surprised at the way of the world.
Right.
But what we do need, and what we should be expecting, and what we should be concerned about, is in those times when the world does come with, you know, I know that COVID was one thing, and the media was just stirring that up all over the place, stirring up fear and everything else. And now we have these unrighteous acts, this civil unrest, all this going on that's, you know, being perceived and is also being propagated. So all this is going on in the world, but we as Christians shouldn't be surprised, number one. But what we should be is that what we should be surprised by is if we don't have an answer in those times. If the Lord isn't giving us an actual word or a way to actually, you know, speak peace or speak love into those situations in our sphere of influence, you know, you can't impact everybody. You know, we don't have that when we're not expected, except for some. But in our sphere of influence, we should be having an impact. We should be speaking. It's not enough just to show up and then, you know, expect the Holy Spirit to somehow, you know, I guess, overflow from you, but you not participate. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate that way. He wants our participation in that. And as we step into that and take that step of faith, He will show up, and He will, you know, repair relationships, and He will speak truth into these things, you know.
Right, and that's what God does, you know, and that's how He works. We have been orchestrated to be in this place at this time in history, so that we can be who we are, the people that God has created us to be, in these moments. To speak life into them, so that we can enable those who are being overcome essentially by the flesh to be able to have victory through the manifestations of God in His Word, in our response, in our ways, and in our interactions as we deal with all of these things. And that brings us really to this month, having the righteous mind. The theme that we have kind of chosen for today is maintaining a right spirit. Because in the midst of all these things that are taking place, it's not always easy to maintain a right spirit. And it's so easy to get caught up. And so many people get caught up in all the things that are going on. You know, this is what's known as the information age, right? So all of the technology that exists is designed to get information to people a lot faster than it has ever been done in the history of humanity. Things happen around the world, and instantly it's made available through social media and through other forms of communication. Things are transmitted to everyone instantly. And now with cell phone technology, everyone has the information alerts popping up on their phones. You're notified, you know, if you're part of OCGF TV, you get an alert when something is posted. These things come to us right away. We're texting. Email is too slow now. So now texting is the thing, you know, so you get a text alert and everybody's texting you. The bank is texting you, bill collectors are texting you. UPS is texting you, you know, everybody's texting to give you instant information so you can know, you know, where things are. I went online the other day, I was looking at a package and I got this little thing that popped up and says, "Do you want to know where your package is?" And I was thinking, yes, I do. And you click on it and it shows you where your package is, on what truck it's on, and where it is in the delivery process. And you can actually see, you know, I guess it's GPS technology at work as it tracks the truck that your package is on. And that's the instant of technology that we live in, the time that we now are living in. And that's what is also, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. It's a blessing and a curse. Because, you know, people have this instant mentality, and that means, you know, they want everything now. You know, they want everything now. I used to use the joke, J.G. Wentworth, right? He said, "I want my money and I want it now," right? And everybody wants everything now. And we don't know how to wait on God. We don't know what it is to really meditate on the Lord and allow our mind to be renewed and to be transformed. And people today are on information overload. And it's just too much information. And a lot of it is not accurate. And unfortunately, people are snapping to judgments without having the wisdom to pull back and pray and say, "God, what is my part in this?" Because there's some information that is coming to people that really, it's not even worth you getting involved with, because you can't do anything and you can't change anything. All you can do is pray. And if you're not a praying person and you're not praying and you're not participating in the opportunities to pray, then you're only hurting yourself. Because you're making a way for Satan to come in and wreak havoc in your mind. Remember, the battleground of Satan is the mind. It is the mind that Satan does battle. He wants you to think negative thoughts. He wants you to think things are wrong. He wants you to think that there's a problem, there's an issue, there's something that you need to, you know, get riled up about. And he riles you up about things that really are not your thing to be riled up about. And it's not to say that there aren't things happening. Of course there's things happening, but you have to understand that there are things that are happening, but God has a way and a place for you in relation to that. And if you don't have that right communing relationship with God, you're going to be taken out of sorts and find yourself operating outside of the place that God really would have you to have the place of most impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, the chain of events that have been taking place over the last couple of months, you know? Mm-hmm. And when we read the scriptures, the one time that the enemy attacks the most is when we're in a moment of isolation. When we're in a moment where we've been dramatically pulled out of our norm, and the only way that we're able to ever overcome it, or the only time you ever see in the scriptures where the person overcomes it, is when they've been communing with God.
Right.
Right. When we see Jesus, you know, fasting in the desert, he was by himself, you know, in person, but spending time with God. Right. And who's the first one that showed up? Satan.
Right.
To tempt him in all different kinds of ways, mm-hmm. you know? But then you have the opposite end of the spectrum, like someone like Samson, mm-hmm. right? And not Samson.
No.
Samson, yeah. All right?
Well.
Well, no. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there.
No.
All right? Remember what happens. All right. But, you know, he's in a moment where he's in isolation. And he's not really seeking God in the moment. He's seeking satisfaction of the flesh.
Right.
And what ends up happening is that he loses everything that God had bestowed on him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it wasn't until he refocused
right.
on God
that's right.
that the strength came back.
Correct.
You know? And that's no
and
coincidence.
And it took time.
It took time,
because
yeah.
he had to wait for his hair to grow back.
Oh, I mean, if it was me, it doesn't take that much time. But
it does take time.
It does take time. But, you know, it's crazy that the social unrest and everything that we're seeing right now, and the tensions that are at an all-time high, mm-hmm. I don't think that we should be surprised that it's taking place after a time of isolation.
Correct. Absolutely.
We have all been in isolation for months. And right. at this point in time, right. with everything that's going on, it is very easy for God to be able to separate right. the good grain from the stuff that's going to burn away.
Correct.
And right. you're it's able true. To see who's been spending time with God versus who's been spending time with Netflix.
Yes.
And true. Facebook, you
right.
know?
Right.
Because if you've
Snapchat.
Been Snapchat, how do you know about Snapchat?
Hey. Well, you know.
Look at this guy.
I'm a man of information.
Wow. But yeah, you know, ultimately, you know, if we've really been spending time with God during this time, you know, we really should be coming out of this whole thing stronger than when we went in.
Correct.
We hear a lot of, man, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. Hmm. I don't think we should reach for normal. I think yeah. we should reach for better.
Right.
We should reach for being better representations
correct.
Of who God has called us to be at
that's
the
right.
end of this trial.
That's right. You know, I do you want to share something? Yeah, go ahead.
One additional thing just on what you were saying and a couple of what Pastor Raphael was saying. You were saying that, you know, we're an information overload. Mm-hmm. And I believe that because we've been isolated, you know, so many times we you know, when we can't really fellowship with one another, so we've been looking to the internet to receive our spiritual information,
right.
our spiritual mooring point, right?
Correct.
And so often, if who we're listening to or the person we're listening to is not seeking that information from God, we're going to be led astray. And I think a lot of times that's what ends up happening. Mm-hmm. And so in those times of isolation, or even if we're not
right.
in times of isolation, no matter what the situation is, we have to seek our truth, our direction from the Word of God,
right.
you know, and from being in that place with God. There is no substitute for it, no matter what situation we're in. And I agree with you that we shouldn't look to go back to normal, but that this should spurn us on to actually spending more time with God. Right. We realize that for the last 12 weeks, I think it is, that, right. you know, we haven't been able to go about life as usual,
right?
right? But so
right.
often we say, well, I can't find time to pray.
Right.
But God said, well, I'm going to shut everything down, and
right.
now are you praying? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, now
right.
that I've shut everything down, are you actually praying? You know, I've given you all the time in the world, and now that's and each one of us has to answer that question,
right.
you know?
And you see the reality of that. I mean, our church had a prayer line every single day. People had the opportunity to call in and to pray. 6 days a week, right? You could come in, you can call in, you could pray, and you could even just put it on in your house and just reflect and begin to pray. And see, so many people did not take advantage of that for whatever reason. And it's a shame, because the whole purpose of that was to enable people to connect and to keep bringing the burdens and the weightiness of all that is taking place to the altars of God, so that we could intervene and we can pray. And so often people find themselves, you know, in chaos and confusion in their own minds, because they missed God. And when you miss God, it can have detrimental effects on your life. It can cause you to start thinking in ways that are not of God and that are really not right, and you won't even realize that that's what's happening to you. And that's how Satan works. Wherever there is good, evil is always present. Wherever there's good, evil is always present. It doesn't matter what it is. That is the parallel. That light and dark are always interacting. And so in this situation, even with all that's going on, right, you have people protesting, you know, peacefully, but then you have people creating chaos and confusion. There's always going to be good and evil working together. And you have to have the mindset of Christ so that you can separate the two and begin to focus on the things that God is doing. Because if you can't see what God is doing, you know, and so many Christians, they're getting caught up in, you know, these are the last days, and oh, it's the end of the world, oh, Jesus is coming back, or you know, this is the apocalypse, or the you know, all this end time stuff. You know, the last days began after Jesus rose from the grave. It began back then, you know, and so every day since then, we've been moving towards the second coming of Christ and the last days. In fact, history tells us that the people of the first century were looking for Jesus to come back, the return of Christ. And they were looking diligently. They were the ones who were saying, Maranatha, the Lord, come quickly. And they were expecting Christ back then. And here we are, right, in 2020, right? 2,000 years later. And we're still facing the same thing. And that's not to say that Jesus is not coming back. It's to say that Jesus is taking his time because God is working out a plan. And if God is working out a plan, how important is it for you to understand your part and your role in that plan? And so we, as the people of God, have to be ready to go into action. The whole purpose of prayer is that we might do something. The reason you pray is so that you will know what to do. You don't just pray, you know, and then say, well, God is going to fix it. No, you pray so that the Holy Spirit can guide you in the way that you should go. And you have to have a righteous mind so that you can discern what that is. And that is what we, as the people of God, are working out in our lives. And that requires the ability to maintain a right spirit. In Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if we're in Christ, we there's no condemnation. We're not to be in that place where we're condemning others or where we're being condemned. But we are liberated, we are free from condemnation because Christ has covered us, he has delivered us. And in verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is an important verse for the believer. It's important because the law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. Right? The law of gravity says, you know, what goes up is coming down, right? If you let go of something in space, it's going to drop to the ground because of the law of gravity. Where there is no gravity, the law of gravity does not apply. But the law of sin and death is the law that God established back in the garden with Adam. And it's the concept that the soul that sins shall die. That's the law of sin and death. Sin brings death. The law of sin and death means that when you sin, or if you operate in sin, it causes death to come and be a part of who you are. Now, death means you're separated, and that you're separated from God, number one, and number two, you can be separated from your loved ones, your family, your friends. You can be separated from society. You can be separated from your church. You can be separated. Separation and death are very similar in there in the what they do and what it's caused. When someone physically dies, their soul is separated from their body, and the body ceases to function, right? Because when the soul leaves, the body stops working. A lot of people feel that when their body stops working, then they're dead. No, it's really the other way around because of the law of sin and death. The soul is removed from the body, and therefore it dies. And so when you understand that, you know, it helps us to be able to focus on the importance of the salvation of a soul. Because a soul that is separated from the body without the life of Christ, then that person is lost for all eternity. And that is the very condition that is causing sin to continue to operate in the world. All these things that are taking place are the result of sin. There's sin everywhere a human being operates. And this whole argument about, you know, sin in the police department, sin in the different places, and sin in people who are racist and biased and all of this stuff. If you yield yourself to Christ, and I will say, I'm going out on a limb, I am going to, I don't know, but I'm saying it. Most Christians are operating outside of the Holy Spirit's direction and yielding. They are operating in rebellion to the Word of God. And they operate out of ignorance and all kinds of things. And they find themselves exactly looking the way the world looks. And that's why when you look at the statistics of all the things like abortion and divorce and all these things that are taking place, pick a statistic, the church and church people, they look pretty much the same way. You look at the relationship between the rebelliousness in teenagers and all the challenges and all of that families face. Christians are almost parallel, exactly, statistically, the same as the world. And why is that? It's because most Christians are not living a Christian life. They are not living according to the Word of God. And there are more Christians learning about the Bible than actually becoming a part of the Bible, letting the Bible become a part of them. And so there is this lack of communing with God on a consistent, regular basis to the extent where the Holy Spirit of God can really transform a person's life. It's not happening. People are religious rather than righteous, like last week, what I talked about. And that's why this is so important. In verse 4, this goes on, and it says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I just made the argument, in a sense, that most Christians are walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. This is where the issue really lies, that this requirement of the law being fulfilled, which is why Christ died, so that we would not be stuck in that mode of operating in the flesh, but that we would operate according to the Spirit instead. It says, go ahead.
Because you know, sometimes as Christians, we don't even realize that we're living in rebellion to the Word and to the law of God. We don't even realize that we're not walking according to the Spirit, right, but that we're actually operating out of a place of the flesh.
Right.
And I urge you, each one of us, not just you, I urge me as well,
right,
examine your heart before God. allow God. And if God's revelation back to you is that you're walking according to the flesh, then get down on your knees and confess that before God and say, Lord, show me how to walk according to the Spirit. And right. That's something that we should be doing continually in our walk. So, sorry, right. Just wanted to...
No, absolutely. I just want to help everyone to understand the importance of communing with God and getting your mind in the right place so that you're not being distorted in your focus and you start feelings. Because remember, what you focus your mind on, that is going to cause certain feelings to arise in you. So when you have feelings that you don't really like or want, you have to go back to the things that your mind is focusing on. And if you're focusing on the wrong things, then you're going to start to feel the wrong way. And you're going to start making decisions based on those ill experiences and feelings that you have. And you're going to find yourself making bad decisions and bad choices. And you're going to be outside of the operation of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the wrong place to be, especially during times like this. It says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. I'm not going to kind of do a whole lot of elaborating on this because I just did a piece in our weekly midweek motivation about this very thing and this whole concept and being able to have our mind set on the things of God, set in the Word of God, so that we can understand the importance of that, because that is the way to experience life and peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Verse 7 says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And that's what you were saying. You know, it's Corinthians again, what you read. You know, no, you cannot do it without the Word of God. Your mind must be set on the Word of God in order to experience this work of God. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in a place of hostility. You're going to be working against what God is actually saying and doing. It says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's literally that simple, right? It says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Plain and simple, straightforward. So verse 9, it says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. This is the bottom line. If you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, not a knowledge of God, not operation of the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul says, be led by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And people are thinking that in sinful ways and, you know, doing sinful things. But it's really talking about the broader scheme of things, which is that you will operate outside of the Holy Spirit's leading and direction because you are not of the right spirit. And so he says, if Christ is in you, verse 10, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you in your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the whole power or working of God is spiritual. It's a spiritual work. That's why it requires intimacy with God, so your spirit can be filled with God. And only the Word of God, direct one-on-one from the Word. You know, I can't say, hey, Pastor Mihal, I'm really thirsty. Could you have a drink for me? Yeah, it's true. You know, I can't. And you can say, man, drinking is good. Man, and you can talk about the flavor and the refreshing experience about it. And I could be, yes, brother. Oh, it's so good. Oh, yes, that drink is good. And I'm bearing witness, I'm testifying. Meanwhile, I'm dying of thirst. I'm totally dried out. I've got nothing. Why? Because I'm not drinking. I'm sharing in the experience of somebody else's drink. And we have to all learn how to drink for ourselves. We have to know how to taste and see that the Lord is good. Nobody can taste for you. You have to taste for yourself. And that's what the Word of God does. That's what this is all about. The Spirit of God operating in us. It says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Romans 12, right? So here is where we as the Christians need to learn how to operate. Because all of these things that are going on, your people are cursing other people. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're using foul language at them, but they're speaking derogatively towards and about other people. And that is something that God has commanded the people of God not to do. We are to bless and do not curse. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and be of the same mind toward one another, and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation or in your own eyes and in your own mind, essentially. And this is what we have to learn as the church how to apply. Because this is really a part of the problem here. And that's why the world is really suffering the way it is. And a lot of this chaos and confusion that's in the world is really because there's chaos and confusion in the churches. And if the people of God would abide in the Word and do these things that God has given us to do and humble ourselves, we would begin to see that reflected in the world. Because we would be able to speak up and speak against all of this criticism and negativity that is taking place in the world. In Deuteronomy 32:4, the Word of God says, the rock, his work is perfect. Talking about God, right? For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So God is a God of justice. He's a God of fairness. He's a God of equity. And that is the way the people of God ought to model in the world so that the world would become convicted by the Holy Spirit that's in us and which we're operating under. And when we are flowing in the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God, we're able to speak the things that will bring life. Speak the life-giving words that will enhance the situation. People are against the police and they want to, you know, get rid of the, defund the police department. Insanity. And so, you know, that is, you know, what Satan wants to do is create an environment where evil can prevail and evil can be promoted. And I'm just stunned by that. I'm stupefied by that. But like what you said, Michal, we shouldn't be surprised, right? Because this is what happens when you have ungenerated minds at work. People who are operating outside of kingdom principles and the Word of God. God is the one who established the whole concept of police departments.
But the funny thing is it's been Satan all along. He's adding a lie to a truth.
Correct.
You know, because there is a truth there.
Right.
That there are some in the police department that need correction. You know,
correct.
And there
Absolutely.
Are areas that need correction.
Absolutely.
But he's adding the lie that all now right. are doing it. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And that's
right.
a lie. So we have to
right.
be very careful of that.
Correct. You know, it's like the lie that says all black people are a certain way. All Hispanic people are a certain way. All of, you know, whoever types of people, Irish people, are a certain way. And people look at us, you know, and they say, oh, you guys must have gotten together in ministry as part of a plan. It was some kind of plan. No, it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit. We just yielded ourselves to God and did what God called us to do. And all of a sudden, voila, you know, here we are. You know, it's a work of God. And it's the Spirit of the Lord, you know, and we love each other. We're brothers. We are faithful to God, and we are, you're working hand in hand in ministry. We do all kinds of things together, as I've said so many times before. And you know, this kind of thing that's out in the world does not really exist on our leadership staff and our team. And really, it's not prevailing in our church either. And it's because of this very concept of the Holy Spirit of God at work. And I know the worship team is here, and we've been going for a good while at this. But you know, I think it's important that we get to share this. And I just want to share these couple of passages, and then we're gonna.
Yes. I just want to add, because I know that it's probably, you know, all of us have the understanding. For anybody who's listening in or anyone who doesn't, it says, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Mm-hmm. What Paul is really trying to actually say there is that you must surrender your flesh to Jesus.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
You must surrender your sinful ways to Jesus.
Correct.
Not that you must die physically or be put to death, you know what I'm saying? But that you must surrender your sinful ways to Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit now to come in, indwell you, and live through you. So
yes.
Just wanted to
absolutely
kind of clarify that piece.
Yes, and that's very good. And that's exactly correct. Go ahead.
And I just want to, you know, build off of that. You know, in to date, what we're going through right now, being a Latino guy who is in his 30s, mm-hmm. I've never had more people tell me who I should be, right, and who I should support or who I should be. Or, you know, I've had so many people try to tell me,
right,
who Rafael Nieves should be.
Right.
And if it wasn't for the fact that I know who I am because I search the Word and the Word tells me who I am, I wouldn't be able to respond to, it doesn't matter what it is that they're telling me, I don't care what side of the spectrum it is that they're on, the response is always the same. You can't tell me who I am, but I can tell you who I am.
Right.
I am a son of the King of Kings.
Yeah.
I am a son of God.
Yeah.
I represent Christ.
Yes.
Because before I was even born,
correct,
he decided I was enough to die for.
Yes, that's
and
right.
I think we have to make sure that we understand who our foundation is, who our Savior is, because if we don't, the world will try and tell you
that's right
who you're supposed to be and who it is you're supposed to represent.
Correct, absolutely. And even some Christians will try to tell you, you know, who you are and who you are. I mean, and unfortunately, you know, that is the world that we live in, and that goes back to information overload. And if you're not operating according to the Spirit and not according to a digital transmission, then you will find that God will be able to give you a righteous mind, the ability to discern, the ability to maintain a right spirit, the ability to have even an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. And that is what we all need today. The ability to discern, to operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and to see the directions of God under the anointing, so that as we are operating in the world, we are able to seek peace and pursue it. We are able to testify of those things that will glorify and honor the name of the Lord, and that we would be able to even see the differences that are out there as good and evil walk hand in hand together, or are walking in parallel together, using the things that are true in order to distort and bring about the things that are of darkness and that are evil. And so if we are able to operate and utilize the direction and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, we can maintain a right spirit. We will be able to overcome every obstacle and every challenge that God allows us to face. And we will see the manifestations of God like never before. These are challenging times, but these are awesome times. And I pray that you, as the child of God, are able to hear and know that the Spirit of the Lord is at work even now, today, even in the midst of all that is happening. And as we rise in the name of Jesus and make a stand for righteousness and truth, and we dispel the works of darkness and every evil and hindering thing, we will see God glorified and honored in this generation, in this season of 2020 that God has placed us in for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I know who I am. Hey, hey. What the will of the Lord is as you navigate with a righteous mind, that you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and that you are able to overcome the very snares of darkness as good and evil walk together through this challenging time, and that you would be able to hear and know that God is at work. And I pray that you can see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing and not be snared by the evil that is walking parallel with the things of this world. I pray that the glory of God would prevail and that you would overcome because you have spent time in the Word, meditating on Him and allowing Him to renew your mind so that you can have the righteous mind of Christ that you so deserve and desire. And so I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would move mightily in the midst of your people, that we would see that even in the midst of chaos and confusion, that your glory would prevail. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to have an excellent spirit and that we would not be caught up in all of the confusion and chaos, but that we would walk as living examples as to the manifestations of the love of God in the midst of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks, oh God. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yes, I know.